Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your great, great, kind words. I read all of my emails personally, and I respond to most of them when time permits, but it's all encouraging. And for my new listeners, you might be wondering, what is this show? Who is this Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and what is Reality Spirituality? Well, this show is about, it's not a religion, it's just a guideline to living connected to our most powerful energy source. Some people use the term universe, God, Buddha, spirit, angels, higher power, energy, it doesn't matter. I use the term universe, but this show is about living connected moment by moment to the universe. And you can feel the difference when you're connected, and you can feel the difference when you're a little bit disconnected. And so this show is about how to experience more of those moments in a day-to-day, moment by moment during your life, during your week, during your day, during your years. I like to focus on everyday life experiences and spirituality, from getting cut off in traffic to cashiers too slow. It's all connected. We're all connected to this great, great energy source. And with that connection, you will be able to experience more happiness, more peace, more contentment, regardless of what's going on in your life. I don't believe I have control over what happens to me, but I definitely have control over my personal vibration, my behavior, my attitude, my words, I'm not going to say thoughts right now, but I definitely have control how I'm going to respond to what happens to me. And I also have control over my perspective of what's going on. You know, I also say that it's not really what it looks like or what it feels like. This experience is rich with a lot of ups, downs, curves, the word is going blank now. What is the word I'm thinking of? The curve, roadblocks, that's what I wanted to say. And so it's all about being in this moment, being in this life without resisting, totally surrendering and accepting it all, and knowing that it is a greater plan. And knowing that everything that is happening, regardless of what it is for my betterment. Everything that happens is really for my greater good. And when you trust and when you know that, you will experience more happiness. And that's what the show is about. Today, I'm so proud and so happy and so grateful to have Roger Ford. He is an internationally recognized energy healer since 1978. Roger Ford is fully committed to developing the spiritual and personal growth of others. He's interested in alternative healing methods. He actively encourages the link between the medical profession and alternative practitioners to take an integrated, holistic approach to healing. He lives and teaches his deeply held conviction that each one of us has the ability to heal ourselves and others. Roger, thank you so much for being on Reality Spirituality. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, let's start, because, you know, we all have stories of the beginnings. Let's start, if you can briefly give me a little bit of background. When you were younger as a child, did you have any idea, any inkling, any feeling that what you would be doing today?
I did, but it wasn't apparent at the time. One of my earliest recollections was, I must have been 7 or 8, I guess, and one of my aunties had really bad arthritis, and for many, many years she really couldn't move her fingers very much, which was very sad because she used to enjoy knitting. And when I was, as I say, very young, about 7, I remember just saying to her, "Let me just hold your hands a moment, Auntie." And I just put my hands on her hands just for a few minutes, and something happened, which was pretty amazing, but I didn't recognize it at the time. She suddenly started to say, "Wow, I can move my fingers." And within 2 or 3 days, she was actually starting to knit again, and she never had any more problems with arthritis. But at that age, I didn't recognize it as, "Wow, that's pretty good. I'm a healer." I just assumed that this was normal. I never sort of took any credit for it. And then a number of different instances when I look back, I was helping people, and particularly animals as well. Things with people would bring me animals, and I just put my hands on them, and they would seem to get better. So I didn't realize I was a healer, not until the late 70s. And then I lost my father, and he died very young with cancer. And I went to several spiritualist churches in England, and every time I went, whoever was doing the service came to me and said, "Did you know that you're a healer?" Mm. And that was really the start of my journey, although, as you can imagine, going back to the late 1970s, there was very little information around at that time. It's not like today where you can go into Barnes & Noble's and there's loads of books on all these different modalities. But that's when it really started, way back in the 70s.
Now, just going back to that, because you're absolutely right. I've spoken to so many people that have told me, well, back in those days, that, you know, you're considered a weirdo or something abnormal. Were you ever shaken, or did you, in other words, their feedback, did that ever deter you, or were you strong in your conviction that you knew that you were a healer and that's what was your purpose and nothing else mattered?
I think deep in my heart, it definitely resonated with me, because I knew that just by putting hands on someone, then there was a change, and it was always a positive change. What I didn't know at the time, and I had to do some searching, was to how I could develop that healing gift. And initially I was working with friends and family with different headaches and migraines and aches and pains. And then I came across an organization in England which had been started in the 1950s. And that was formed by an amazing healer, a man called Harry Edwards. And he used to literally, in the 1950s, get 4,000 or 5,000 people come and see his demonstrations. Mm. He used to work at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and he had spontaneous healings. People would come in on crutches and in wheelchairs, and he would just put his hand on them for a few minutes, and they would be able to walk and stand up. And he spent a lot of time trying to integrate this modality into the medical profession, and eventually he did. He wrote to all the hospitals, and he trained people, and he produce a very strict code of ethics, which the doctors liked, because, you know, we're not allowed to diagnose as a healer. By the early 1960s, healers that he had trained were able to go into hospitals and work on the hospital wards with patients and nurses and so on. And by the middle of the 1970s, 1977, the British Medical Council actually wrote a letter to every medical doctor in England giving them permission to refer patients to healers that had been trained by that organization. So that was the organization I then trained with. I spent 2 years training to become a healer with them, and then I spent another 2 years training to become a trainer. So it was very normal and very natural for us to work very closely with doctors. Most of my clients in England were referrals from doctors. So when my wife and I moved to America in 2002, it was a bit of a shock because we'd assumed that California would be way in front, and it isn't way in front.
Right, I was about to say that. I know that we this country might be a lot more backwards than other countries because they. But someone was telling me Reiki masters told me a couple of weeks ago that even one of the hospitals here in Los Angeles, I believe it's Cedar Sinai, but it's one of the big name hospitals that is integrating Reiki healing to the medical profession, which is, like you said, you guys were a lot more advanced, but now it's coming along slowly but surely.
Yes, it is. It is. And there is a shift of consciousness, I think, in people as much as doctors. I think more and more people are beginning to realize that, first of all, we have to take responsibility for our own health. And I think very often we abuse our bodies, our lifestyle and everything, and then we just go to a doctor for a fix. So I think people are realizing that we have to take responsibility. And I think a lot of the people are now concerned about the amount of medication that people take, and that very often when I speak to clients and I'll give me a whole list of things that they're taking, and I'll say, well, why are you taking that? And I say, well, that's because of the side effects of that one. And, well, why are you taking that one? Well, that's because of the side effects. So... so I think people are beginning to get a little bit tired of all the medication and obviously the high cost of healthcare as well. So more and more people, I think, are beginning to turn to complementary medicine. And I think that's one of the big differentiators. In England, it's actually called complementary, which means it complements the medical profession. It's not instead of, whereas here I know we talk about alternative, and that gives the impression that you've got to do one or the other, whereas really I think you do both. You know, if you've got aches and pains or you've got stress, for instance, then going to see a healer or another practitioner is probably a lot better than going to see a doctor and just being put on medication.
Right. I love that term, complementary. And I also I love working together. Of course, shifts happen slow. Growth, new ideas don't happen overnight. But,
right.
Yeah, there is definitely a shift. I want to say to my listeners, because I have a few people in the queue, if you'd like to come on live, a lot of people are in the queue, but you have to press the number one if you want to speak with the host and or the guest, Roger Ford, and you're welcome to. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. And, of course, you are welcome to, just to listen without speaking. So back to, you said something about stress, and, of course, there's not one person that I talk to that doesn't talk about that they have stress. What are your recommendations for someone that is, I'm stressed out, it's the job, it's the family, it's the finances, it's life, I'm stressed out. What are your recommendations for someone that would come to you?
Well, you're right. I think people now, or the medical profession, recognize that probably 70 or 80% of all our illnesses are caused by stress of some sort. You know, the roots are in stress. So I think what we have to do is to look at what causes us to get stressed and then try and work out some form of process that can either reduce that stress. So what I say to people is, if you're in a situation where you can't change it. So let's say, for instance, you're looking after, I don't know, an elderly relative or a parent or something. I mean, that's what you have to do. So there is not a lot of point in getting really stressed about that. But very often there are there are ways of reducing our stress. So often on our workshops, we talk about stress, and people say, oh, yeah, time is my problem, you know, and traffic is my problem. And, you know, there are solutions to that. By getting up a little bit earlier or leaving earlier, maybe the traffic is lighter and so on. So I think we just have to work out some form of process that reduces our stress. And I think the other thing, and I'm sure this will resonate with you, Rebecca, is we also need to see the humor in life. I think very often we take life so seriously. And one of the big differences I've noticed since moving from England is that people in America work very, very hard, which is great, but I also think you need to play as well. I think we need to have the balance in life. And I think, you know, very often we look back on situations that we're really stressed about, and you think, well, why was I so stressed about that? You know, I've got through it. It was okay. So I think we have to not look at the funny side of everything, but there is humor in a lot of situations in our life. And if we can lighten up a little bit, then I think that would be a great stress reducer as well.
Well, you hit a lot of really important points going back to the traffic. One of the things that I share on this show when people, because I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, and one of the things that I share on this show is, you know, I can blame it on the traffic. I can blame it on what's happening to me, but it's really not. It's really an internal job. It's really about what's going on inside, because there are times when you're feeling really, really good and really connected, and you can get into traffic and it doesn't bother you. And then there's some days when you get into traffic and, oh my goodness, everybody is an idiot. So it really comes down to, for me, it comes down to that person in the mirror and really understanding that. And we talked, and you talked about, where does it all begin? For me, it's a totally an unlearning of what I learned while I was younger. I didn't have any stress when I was 1 year old or 2 years old. I mean, I learned to develop this thing called stress. And I have to say that listen, again, it doesn't happen overnight, but with wanting to, I tell this story a lot, just very briefly. When I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential, number one, and I wanted to be happy. And this being happy is actually a job. When I say a job, I mean it is a joy to have this job, because 24/7, everything I'm conscious of, how I'm feeling internally, and how I'm feeling internally reflects on my external, how I'm feeling also. So it really begins with me. And this thing called stress in my life doesn't exist. It exists, it used to exist, but it doesn't exist anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, I don't meditate every day, but I probably meditate 3 or 4 times a week. And I literally spend no more than 15 minutes just sort of going inside and meditating first thing in the morning. And those days when I'm completely calm through meditation, the day is completely different. You know, things don't worry you so much. You know, you people sort of cut you up on the freeway and it doesn't worry you. Whereas a normal day, somebody pulls in front of you and brakes, then you get cross. So I think you're right. I think we are responsible for what happens in our external life, depending on what's going on inside us. And if you are, I often say to people, if you are in the right relationship, if you're in the right job, if you eat the right things, you're probably not going to get ill. You know, I think that's what we need to look towards, is being happy in our lives. Because if you are happy, then the body, as you know, produces endorphins and so on. And other things being equal, you stay well.
You said something that it's so important. It's something that I teach also. Not taking things seriously. That is so key, and I don't know, but I was raised in a home that everything that happened was serious.
Yes.
But again, it's an unlearning that, no, it's really not. And if you're focused, it was actually, I had to learn to look at things and say, you know what, it's not that serious. it's really not that serious. And that became my one of my mantras. It's not serious. It's not serious. Like you said, lighten up, laugh, relax, breathe, enjoy the moment. There is something good in every moment. I don't care what it looks like. You can whatever you focus on is how you're going to feel.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you said at the beginning, I think if we can accept what goes on in our lives as part of our learning, part of our journey, if you will, then it tends to put things in a lot more of a perspective. I work a lot doing healing with people with serious illnesses, with cancer and so on. And often people, when the cancer's gone into remission, they will say it was the best thing that happened to them, which sounds very bizarre. But if you look on it as, well, okay, I mean, on some level, I've invited this illness into my life to teach me something. So if you can look at it from that perspective, then you get it into perspective, you know, because with things like a serious illness, you certainly learn about yourself. You certainly learn about what people are your friends, people that maybe you thought were your friends and were going to support you are not there, but other people that maybe you never dreamed of would help you suddenly come into your life and they're tremendous supports for you. So I think we just need to have a deeper look at life sometimes and realize that, okay, this illness is teaching me something. What is it?
Yes.
So rather than be angry and become the victim, why me, then just look at it as, okay, this is a learning for me. This is great. Thank you.
You know, everything. I'm going to say instead of looking at deeply sometimes, look deeply all the time, because you said it. I actually had a girlfriend, she's 36-year-old. This was a few years ago, diagnosed with breast cancer, went through chemo, got the lump out, radiation, all of that. And she said it was the best experience that I've had because, and I, of course, I'm why. And she said, because now I am grateful for the little things. I don't take life for granted. She went on and on and on. I mean, she was literally, and everybody's different. I'm not saying that everybody has to be like this, but we have other choices. We have other perspectives. Just because you're thinking one way doesn't mean that you have to think. There's always a different perspective that you can come up with. It's just practicing your perspective until you feel good about what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's an interesting life, you know.
And to say the least.
And I think we do have to stand back sometimes from what's going on and say, okay, well, yeah, I can see the funny side of this, or I can understand why this is happening, and just accept it.
I just want to throw something else in, because you said you could see the funny side and you can accept it, and I can see why this is happening. I have to say this. I'm telling you right now, I don't know why a lot of times why things happen to me, but what I do know, my foundation of knowing is that whatever is happening, I trust that it is for my betterment. I know that. So even if I'm a little uncomfortable, why the hell is this happening to me? I know that it is for my betterment, but I don't know specifically why. So be okay with not knowing why.
Yeah, absolutely. Trust is a big one. And it's a lot of people find it difficult to trust, you know. And, but I think trust is important. And I think the other thing in life is that we very often go to do things, or we're faced with a situation where we have to make choices, and often we start to make a choice where on some level we know it isn't the right choice. Something tells us, a gut feeling, if you will, that, you know what, this isn't right. And very often we just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and forcing that to happen. My view is that if something doesn't feel right for you, even though logically it may be right, you say, okay, well, what if I was to do something slightly different, go in this direction? How does that feel to me? Well, it doesn't feel very good either. What about if I took the other route, this route? This feels really good. This feels right. And even though on an intellectual level it may not make any sense, my take on it is that's the route we should be taking. because I think we're guided in our lives as to, you know, the path that we decided we were going to go on before we incarnated. But often we just keep pushing and pushing in a direction that, you know, if it's so difficult to do something, my take is that it probably isn't right for us.
Yes. Come on now, preaching to the choir over here. You're talking about using your intuition, using your inspiration. It's really about getting out of your head and relaxing and letting the universe guide you and using you're absolutely right. If it doesn't feel good, why are you doing it? Why?
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. But we get fearful, you know, it's like the trust thing you say. Sometimes we feel, well, if I don't do this, this is going to happen, that might happen, and that might happen. Well, if you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, that resistance eventually becomes an illness, you know. I think we have to take not the easy route, but the route that feels most comfortable for us.
Yes, exactly. The root of no resistance.
Yeah.
And another thing I would like to say is there's, you know, these voices, there are two voices in my head. There's the universal voice and there's this voice of the ego or whatever you want to call it, that other voice that says you're not doing it right, this is the wrong decision, you could be working harder, all of that. That voice, I don't even pay attention to that voice. I don't pay attention. It's there. It's definitely there. But I just let it behave and talk, but there's no power given to it. And that's another thing. When you're giving power to a critical voice or a critical thought, you know that's not universal. You know that's not God. You know that's not spirit. Spirit,
right.
God, does not criticize.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So
I think we're on the same wavelength, Rebecca.
Yes, of course we are. Of course we are. So let me ask you a question, Roger. What are your challenges? What are your, if you feel like sharing, what are your personal challenges these days?
Well, we came to America really to help bridge the gap between complementary and allopathic medicine. And we run workshops, we train people how to do energy healing. And I guess my frustration is that it's taking longer, although we've made some big steps, it's taking longer than I thought. I just assumed that when we came to the United States that, first of all, America would be way in front of Europe, which obviously it isn't. But, sorry, just excuse me a second.
I love live radio.
I know.
I love it. Come on.
I think we would like the organization to have grown a lot bigger, a lot quicker, but maybe that's just my own personal frustration. But we run workshops. We have trainers now in different states as well as in California. We have trainers in Florida and Michigan and Illinois and Wisconsin. So our work is spreading. But I guess my frustration is that I would like it to spread a lot faster. But apart from I'm incredibly happy. You know, I've got a great wife. We live in Ojai, which is beautiful. We're very lucky. We have a beautiful healing center here, and I love the work we do. I to see people change when they start moving on this path is incredibly rewarding.
Yeah,
just to see people coming into their own power and it's great.
Well, because one of the things that I share and I teach is what subtracts from happiness and what adds to happiness. And one of the things that always 100% subtracts from happiness is all expectations. You said you expected the business to grow. And I totally get it because, let me say, I was the queen of having expectations and to give up all expectations and just know. Because one of the things that the universe has taught me is you can't speed it up, you can't slow it down, you can't make it happen, you cannot not make it happen. It will happen, but it will happen in the time that the universe unfolds. It goes back to trusting. But this I had to, Roger, I'm telling you, I had to give up all expectations. Do you know how many expectations I've had in my life? I mean, even, I had to give them all up.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're absolutely right. And I, you know, when we run our workshops, sometimes we get 15, 20 people, sometimes we get a handful, and it's very easy to get caught up in the, wow, we've only got five people. And I've learned to think, okay, well, there's a reason why we've only got five people. And by the end of the workshop, I understand, because very often on those workshops with only a handful of people, they are going through a lot of personal stuff. So you can have, we have the time then to help them and support them and so on. Whereas if it was a much larger group, then we probably wouldn't have that time to spend with them.
Mm.
So there is a reason behind all of these things. And it's just, as you say, moving away from what you think is right and just trusting that the universe knows a little bit more than you do.
Just a wee bit. Just a wee bit. You said your classes, and I teach the Importance of Happiness class, and it just started in January. It's a brand new class. No, there was no city in the, I would say, it's a city run job. It's a city offered by the city of Arcadia. And when I started, there was one person, two people to sign up.
Yeah.
And but see, I had already got on this expectation thing. And listen, I've gotten to the point where if I'm supposed to be speaking, or if I have a class and no one shows up, I'm okay, because
that's good.
Yeah, but it's funny that you said that, you know, you people in the class, there's a handful of people or not. This getting this thing of numbers out of my head. This number is better than that number. Millions. You don't think I want millions and billions of people to listen to this radio show, my dear Roger? You don't think that's what I used to want?
Yeah. And we all want to get on Oprah.
Yeah, listen, come on now. You don't think I thought about that too?
I'm sure. Absolutely.
So the bottom line is, I remember complaining to the universe when I first started the radio show, and there's a handful of listeners, and most of them were my family, and they even stopped listening after a while. But getting back to that, and I the universe, and millions of people, I have wisdom I want to share, and on and on and on, and the universe just came back with me with, we're listening. Isn't that enough?
Yes. Yeah. Very profound.
Yes. It's really talking about, it's funny, the universe has a really good sense of humor, all the things that they put me through just to be happy.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we lose the plot sometimes, is that I think very often there is a universal humor. And we've sort of got so far away from our true essence, which is being happy and being content. You know, we've moved much more towards the materialistic side of life, I think. And I see people, and my wife sees people, with a lot of money, a lot of wealth and so on, and they're incredibly unhappy, because they haven't found that peace within them. They've lost the plot.
Well, see, that's another interesting point that you made, because one of the things that I write about in my book is the reality, spirituality, the truth about happiness, is money equals success, money equals happiness, and of course it's easy to say when you don't have it or when you do have it, but I'm telling you right now that all of it, all of these external things, money, titles, numbers. I'm gonna have, listen, okay, don't shoot me on this one, Roger. I'm even gonna have to throw this in, but even sometimes health have nothing to do with how content or how happy you are. Absolutely nothing.
And you know, I've traveled a lot, and you know, you go to some of these poor countries, and they literally live in little tin shacks, but they are so happy. They have family, they have friends, they have, you know, communities and so on, and they just enjoy life.
Yeah.
And yet other people have got, on externally, so many toys and huge houses and cars and this, that, and the other, and they're really unhappy.
That's right. Oof.
We're getting very philosophical this morning, aren't we?
What?
I said we're getting very philosophical.
Well, yeah, that's what life is really about. It's really getting to the deep stuff. It's really all this stuff, this really deep, deep stuff. It's not about the external. At least I don't believe it is.
Yeah, I agree. It's inside us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like aging. You know, you've probably met people, and I've met people that at 40 years old, they're old. You know, they think old, they behave old. And I've met people of 80 who are so young at heart, you know, and it's all to do with the way we think about life, think about our the good things in life.
Right. So let's see, I had another question for you, of course, but I forgot what it was.
Okay.
Let's see, I was really wanted to ask a question. We talked about stress as being something that was really common with people. What else do people come to see you for? Another is you talk about healing yourself. Can you share with my audience how do you go about doing that?
Well, I guess it's having an understanding, but on a sort of physical level, say, for instance, I mean, one of the things that we teach people is how to bring energy from an external source. I think you mentioned earlier on, you know, whether you believe it's God or the universe or whatever it comes from, but there is an external source of energy which a healer is trained to bring through their system, through their bodies, and so that you're not using your own energy. So one of the ways that you do self-healing is to tap into that divine energy, for want of a better word. And often when you're doing healing, when you're actually working with somebody else, then the healer gets the benefit because the energy is flowing through the healer into the recipient, into your client, your patient. And so you get sort of healed as a byproduct of helping somebody else.
Right. Now, how do you tap into that energy?
It's really through visualization. So you just imagine this incredible light. I often describe it like a beam of light on a stage, like a spotlight, if you like, and that light comes from this divine source, and you just visualize it coming in through the top of your head, through your crown, and then all the way down through your body and out through your feet. And visualization, as you know, is incredibly powerful. You know, just by holding that visualization, all sorts of incredible things happen. Really incredible things happen. So that's one of the ways that it is the way that you tap in. I know with Reiki, I've been trained to do Reiki. My wife's a Reiki master. You learn lots of symbols and things. The way we teach is a little bit more simple than that. This is the Harry Edwards way of healing. And so you just connect directly to the source, whatever you believe that is. And you don't have to necessarily do any sort of symbols.
You know, I was just going to ask you that, of course, about what's the difference between energy healing and Reiki. I actually just last weekend finished my Reiki practitioner class, and so now I'm officially a Reiki practitioner. And just finding people to finding guinea pigs. I mean, finding people to practice on. So I've practiced on a couple of people, and it's in fact one of the people in my happiness class stayed after. You know, listen, don't tell anyone, Roger. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I followed the guidelines, and I know that there's no right or wrong way to get this energy through you. And she told me that, of course, you know, I put my hands on her shoulders, her head, her eyes, and all these, just maybe 15, 20 minutes in the next week, just last Thursday. She said, "Wow, my shoulder was bothering me, and now my shoulder feels great."
So very good.
I'm still a little. Okay, because I've been told that I was a healer for years. Also, I know that I am, and hands, and it just so many. But I've usually healed with my words, and healed with my presence, and healed with my energy, not really through my hands, but so. What was my point? My point
you were,
was
you were asking what the difference was.
Yeah. Thank you, Roger. Yeah. What's the difference? Yeah.
Well, my and we often get asked this, and we get a lot of Reiki masters on our workshops, and I think whatever title we put on it, whether it's Reiki, whether it's the connection, whether it's quantum healing, healing touch, there are so many different modalities, energy healing, spiritual healing, we called it in England. The source is exactly the same. I mean, right. there's no question about that. So the only difference, I believe, is, first of all, the practitioner. I think it's a bit like your doctor. You know, you have to have a practitioner or a healer that you feel in tune with. And the other thing that we do, and it may be different where you are, but we have a lot of ongoing support for our people, our members, when we finished the workshop. So we're creating lots of healing communities. So once a month, for instance, in Ojai, we have a community healing for the public. So the public just come into our healing center, we do a meditation, and then they receive healing from people that we've trained. So it's a great way of keeping, because you said, I think you mentioned, you know, you've got to find people to work with, and although we recognize a lot of people need help, they're not always open to it. So by creating these healing communities, which we're doing in some hospitals and so on, then it enables the healers to practice, but also the people themselves are obviously getting the benefit of receiving healing. So I think that's the main difference. If you were to receive healing from me, you wouldn't know whether I was doing energy healing, spiritual healing, or Reiki. You just feel the energy flowing through you. So, you know, it's we get hung up a little bit sometimes on this one's better than that one, and I think they all have something that's pretty special. And for anybody that's listening, if you've never experienced healing, whether it's Reiki or energy healing or spiritual healing, I would strongly recommend you try it. I mean, it's one of those things that is very experiential. It's difficult to explain how it feels, but once you've received it, you'll never forget it. You know, it's quite powerful.
Right. Well, I think you're absolutely right. This, you know, man... I always come up with man versus the universe, and this man made, you know, okay, now it's Reiki, now it's energy healing, it's this, all these labels, that's another thing, all labels subtract from happiness too. Healing is just healing is just healing.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I was inspired to do this Reiki healing, but I'm totally into just healing, period. Yeah, so it's and there is no one better than the other, better, good, bad, one level, another level. It doesn't, for me personally, no, healing is just healing. And I believe that everybody that will experience healing this way, with the hands and energy healing, Reiki healing, is supposed to. Everybody comes to where they're supposed to be in the perfect time. There's no accident. There's no accident, so there's no mistakes in this universe. So everybody that's supposed to receive it will, and the others, you know, maybe it's not this lifetime. Maybe they're waiting for their next life. Who knows?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a little bit like we were saying earlier on, you know, it's intuitive that you'll feel that this person is right for me or this person isn't right for me. And to get the maximum benefit, then you go with someone that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing, as a sort of side issue, is as a healer, one of the things I always do when we train people to do this is always to see wellness in people. Because I think very often we focus on illness. We focus on things we don't want. So I hold the vision when I'm meeting someone, even if they're desperately ill, and some people I see, you know, everybody's sort of given up on them, I still see that person in my head as well. And it's amazing just holding that space, having that thought of that person being well, on some level, some very deep level, that seems to shift something within them.
Mm.
It's really profound.
You know, that is really powerful what you just said. And that can not only be for an individual seeing somebody as well, or, in other words, looking in, it's the same. Listen, I'm going to spread this out because it's so, so profound. It's the same as the world, looking at the world.
Yeah.
So even the world is well. You visualize, you know, in other words, okay, there's something wrong with this planet. There's something wrong with the people. There's something wrong with society. There's something wrong with the way the world's working. No, people.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. It's everything is happening for a reason, regardless whether I understand it. But just like you said, you're talking about the individual, and I'm saying yes, the individual, and also spread that out to the world too.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Because we do, and unfortunately, it's fed through us, through the newspapers and through television to a large extent. We focus on the negative in the world. You know, we look at the disasters, we look at everything that's wrong. And when we were in England, we lived in Bristol, and there was a newspaper that came out. It was one of these free newspapers that they give away. It came out every 2 weeks, and it was actually called The Positive News. And that's all it contained. And it was absolutely brilliant. You know, there was no bad news in it at all. And people loved it because it was all stories of, you know, what people were doing the good and how companies were doing good. And I just sometimes feel it's so frustrating that news readers and the news that we see focuses far too much on what's wrong rather than what's right. And I think if we could move forward more towards the positive that's going on in the world, because there's so much good stuff that goes on, that would be a huge shift in the way people live their lives.
Again, I'm going to use your word, profound. And don't you think that my television show is going to be only positive things, Roger?
Absolutely.
Ford?
But you're in the minority, unfortunately.
Well, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, listen, minority, that's the one that causes all the change. And you're absolutely right. Listen, I feel like sometimes I say it's maybe 1% or 2% of the population that gets it. But it's okay. It's all right being in a minority. I like it. I'd rather be here. But, yeah, listen, everybody. It really is about focusing on what's good. I love this, the positive news. I wrote that down because it's so important. Yeah, let's start it, Roger. Me and
yep.
you and your wife. what I wanted to say, because that's so important, but it's a choice. Again, watching the news, I know my 86-year-old mother who, you know, loves the news. Oh, and she is telling me every single day, because I speak with her every day, about what's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
And I used to try to change her and say, Mom, don't watch the news. I don't watch the news. And she kept, listen, 86, come on. Can you change anybody? No, you can only change yourself. And so I got to a point where she tells me about the horrible things that are happening in the world, and I'm able to listen to it without really absorbing or soaking it in, listening to it in one ear and out the other. And sometimes when I don't want to hear it, not that connected, I don't call her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we have a few minutes left. Will you please share with my audience? You said you're going to have a workshop. Share the date, the time, the location, and anything else that you'd like to speak on, and also anything that I didn't cover in this interview.
Okay. Well, basically, I my belief is that everybody has a gift of healing. I don't think it's just the select few that can do this. I think anybody can do it, provided you have compassion, provided you want to help people, then you have the foundation of something to build on. So our workshops that we run are they're certified energy healing workshops. So they've been approved by the California Board of Registered Nurses. They've been approved by the National Certification Board for Massage Therapists and the American Holistic Nurses. So people that are nurses and massage therapists can actually get contact hours. But the certification period is over 12 months. We do three workshops, and they're always a sort of Friday evening, then Saturday and Sunday. And we cover a wide range of topics. And the one that we're doing in a couple of weeks' time is going to be in Los Angeles. It's at the Gateway Portal, and that starts on the Friday, the 5th of June. And at the end of that weekend, people that maybe are skeptical, or maybe they're just curious, or maybe they really want to do this work, everybody on the workshop will actually prove to themselves that they can do healing. So they're very very full. We cover a lot of different topics. We talk about the breath, a little bit about the history of spiritual healing. We teach people how to use a chair for doing healing. We do a little bit of meditation. We talk about stress, interestingly enough. We talk about distant healing. So there's a whole range of topics that we cover to give people a good grounding of starting to do this work. So we have a website, which is healinginamerica.com. So if anyone's curious, then obviously they can check out our website, or I'm more than happy to take any calls from people. Our telephone number in Ojai is 805-640-0211. And if anybody's on the program now that has a question, I'm more than happy to answer that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, we have a lot of people that are in the queue, but sometimes people just call in to listen, and they really don't want to just come on air, and that's their choice. But we have a lot of people that are in the queue that are just listening live. You said the workshop is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What are the hours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Friday is 5 o'clock until about 7:15, 7:30. Okay. And then Saturday and Sunday, they go through from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5:30. So pretty long day.
Very intense. Very intense.
But we also, you know, we look at the energy centers, the chakras. We teach about the aura. By the end of the workshop, you'll be able to see people's auras. One of the things that I think is pretty key is I truly believe a lot of illness is caused by suppressed emotional stuff. One of the things that we look at is how to release that and how important it is to be positive and so on. And as you know, with people with cancer, very often, and I've worked a lot over the years with people with cancer, and nearly always, if you ask someone who has cancer what happened in their lives 18 months or a couple of years before they were first diagnosed, there is nearly always some form of emotional upheaval in their lives. And often they've internalized those feelings. Instead of screaming and shouting and getting it out of their bodies, they just put on a brave face and carry on. And often that then, I think, triggers off a couple of years later into cancer. And one of the ways when I work with a client is to examine that and help them work through those issues, which in turn then has the knock-on effect of helping the cancer to go into remission. So I think
you're talking about emotions and feelings or certain things that have been repressed. One of
correct.
The things, and I totally agree, one of the things that I always talk about is just getting down to the truth and exposing the truth about whatever it is. In other words, like you said, just getting it out.
Yeah.
You can't deal with any kind of issue without saying, okay, this is an issue, or even even being, I say being honest, but it's even more, it's deeper than that, because I just want to say, oh, well, you're just dishonest. It's even deep. I like to just say exposure. It's like, okay, you're in the dark, it's in the corner, it's in the closet, and what you're doing is you're shining a light on all of this stuff, whatever it is, this stuff. And as soon as you shine a light on it, yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it doesn't feel good. Yes, it's, oh, gosh, I don't want to do it. But when you, but with that flashlight, with the shining of the light, now you're able to move. Now you're able to shift to a different place.
Yeah.
And you need that exposure. Listen, the universe has been shining lights on me for I don't know how many decades. And listen, you think I want certain things exposed that this bothers me, and now I got to work on it, or now I got to focus on getting to another level. It's a 24/7 job. I don't get any rest, no breaks, but it's necessary to get to this place you talk about, this healing, this place to be healed, this place for peace, this place for contentment, this place that you know. I mean, come on. It's where we were born. We are, this is our birthright to be happy. We are happy individuals. We just got away from it.
We have. And recognizing it and working on it is, and I know my wife Kim, she does hypnotherapy and she's an NLP practitioner, and working through some of this stuff doesn't have to be painful. You know, you can shift some of these limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves very often quite quickly. I mean, there are a lot of techniques he uses, and the change in people, suddenly their world is so much greater and so much more happy for people once they've worked through some of this, some of these issues that often get embedded in childhood, as you know.
Mm.
So I think we're all on a healing path, and getting help or support to help work through some of the stuff that we're going through not only helps us mentally, but it also helps us on a physical level as well.
Right, exactly. Perfect. Well said, perfectly said. So I have another question, because I didn't know that that's what your wife did. So has she hypnotized you and helped you with a few, you moving through things also?
Not per se. She has hypnotized me, but she certainly helped in maybe a couple of issues that I'd almost forgotten about. But in fact, she funny enough, you do happen. She does a workshop called The Art of Joyful Living, and it's to do with exactly that, to do with happiness. It's our birthright, as you just said, to be happy people.
Yeah.
It's sad when you see so many people that are dissatisfied with life and miserable and moaning and groaning. And if you are one of those people that are always, and I know a lot of English people are moaning and groaning a lot, but that seems to be the negative capital of the world, I think, is England. But you attract then things of a low vibration, as you know. Whereas if you can raise your level of vibration, if you can be a positive person, then you tend to attract positive people, you attract positive situations in your life, and life is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of the people that are always complaining about this and moaning about that, then you're going to attract people that are always complaining and moaning, and your life then is... it's pretty sad.
Mm. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show, but now you opened up a whole new can of worms.
I'll have to come back. Just speak on, just for a second.
But yeah, definitely come back, definitely. But one of the things that I had to learn, Roger, was, because I used to say the same thing, that these people are miserable, these people that complain and moan and groan. And then the universe hit me with, no, you would be miserable if you did that. These people are happy doing that. These people are, this is what they want to do. And I only use my mother as an example, because I can't change her. You don't think that I've tried to tweak and try to change the way that she's thought about a lot of things so she could be happier? Sure. Yeah, but these other people, they're going through exactly what they need to go through. And, yeah, I would not be happy living like that, but these people are definitely on their right journey, on the right path, and in their way, they're happy. They would be unhappy being happy. Get it?
Yeah, I do get it. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Okay, so what a fabulous show. Thank you so much. And, yes, you are going to have to come back. And also, I would love to interview your wife. She sounds, listen, to have two people so powerful, this union, it sounds like a great, maybe together.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Sounds like it's such a great partnership. So thank you so much again for coming on the show. And
you're
again,
very welcome.
Healing in America, his website is Healing in America. That's one word. His number to get him personally is area code 805-640-0211. And you said your workshop, but I don't know if you said the dates. It's June the 5th.
So it's
June the 5th.
A couple of weeks. Starting at 5 o'clock, and it's at the Gateway Portal in Barrington Avenue in Los Angeles.
Perfect. Thank you again, Roger, for coming on.
Thank you, Rebecca. And have a good weekend.
Loved having you. You too. Oof, what a great, great, great show again. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Tomorrow, we're going to have our Ask Rebecca Anything segment, which You call in live and ask me whatever question you want about what's going on in your life and how to experience more happiness. You know, this life, you have all the power, and with the power you have all the responsibility. You are responsible for your own happiness, and on every Sunday I share with you how to experience more happiness. So if you've enjoyed the show, and I know that you have, go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook and like the Reality Spirituality Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. And my website is Rebecca Norrington. That's www.rebeccanorrington.com. And my book, it's not available hard copy yet. If you want a hard copy, you can email me at info@rebeccanorrington.com. It's the first edition. The second edition is coming out, but the first edition is going to be a collector's item, and that is Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. The second edition is going to be a totally different book with a totally different title, because that's what my agent is going to tell me that's going to be selling. So, of course, you have to sell in this world, and it's going to be a brand new book with different stories and different information, but always good information about happiness, happiness and money, happiness and forgiveness, happiness and death, happiness and everyday life. So that's what Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness is. And before I let you go, I want to remind you who you are, my dear audience. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always changing and you're always growing. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Love is patient and love is kind. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. That's my favorite quote from Abraham. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Join me tomorrow, 7 a.m., Reality Spirituality. And until then, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. It's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you know it.
feel good now.
Get real good.